The following broadcast is brought to you by the friends and partners of Revival Ministries International.
Last Sunday, I talked to you about the river, and we're going to continue this Sunday. And the title of the message this morning is called The River of Offense is the River of Deliverance. It's a message the Lord gave me years ago, found in God's Word, and we'll be going to that. And I want to read another scripture that was not included in your notes today, and it's from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 34. And Simeon blessed him and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed and destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. And a sword will pierce through their own soul, your own soul also, that the secret thoughts and purposes of many hearts may be brought out and disclosed." In other words, God will offend the minds to reveal the hearts. In 2 Kings chapter 5, if you go there with me, please, and verse 1. "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper." He was a leper. "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, 'Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Samaria. He would recover him of his leprosy.' And one went in and told his Lord, saying, 'Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel.' And the king of Syria said, 'Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel.' And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, 'Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of leprosy.' And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I a God to kill and make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me.'" So he thought this was a setup of now he's going to use this to come to war against him. "And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes," which is funny if you read it, the King James looks like he opened up a tuxedo renting business, but he tore his clothes. It was a sign of distraught. If people at that time, if they just, like if they go through an emotional thing, they just tear their clothes. They rent their clothes. To us, that means they open up a tuxedo renting business, but that's not what he did. He said, "Why hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a message unto him, said, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall come again to thee, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand of the place and recover the leper." So in other words, he had a preconceived idea how God was going to do this. And I would say that that's probably the number one reason why people don't receive from God is because they have a preconceived idea about how God's going to do what he's going to do. And he doesn't operate according to the way we perceive. This would be like saying the preacher's going to come, he's going to call me out publicly on television, he's going to wave his hand over me and I'm going to get healed. But here was the big thing. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters in Israel? Aren't they cleaner waters? What do you mean I must go dip in the Jordan, the muddy Jordan? I mean, even today, it's muddy. If you go to the Jordan River, it's muddy. And there's a place where they do the baptism, but you have to watch out for all the rats. There's rats everywhere. Even to this day. Filthy. Filthy. So he's looking at the Jordan going, I must go dip in that mess. I got cleaner. We got cleaner rivers back home. The rivers of Abana and Pharpar are much cleaner. What do you mean? You want me to go down to that river church? To the muddy waters there? On that river, the denominational waters of the Church of God are much cleaner. The denominational waters of the Assemblies of God are cleaner. I'm not going down there to that river church where there's joy and people laugh and they roll in the ground. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spoke unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? In other words, go do this, go conquer this enemy, and then God will heal you. Go do something great. How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? And then the Bible says he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. So this is so imperative that you understand that the river of offense is the river of deliverance. The very thing that you get offended about, that if you can ever come across the threshold, you'll come into that place of blessing. Somebody said, why would God do that? God did it so that humble people could come to receive. Humble people. So here's Naaman, a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. You can be wealthy, you can have everything, even high positions, but have leprosy, and leprosy represented sin. He had status, but leprosy had him. And there are many people today, they have status, but their life is bound by something. Sometimes it's evident, sometimes it's not. But God has a place for each one to get healed and to be made whole and for relief to come. If they can just get through that place of offense, they'll come into it. They'll come into the blessing. We see he became offended through pride. And the thing is, it's not the formula of the dip seven times, because I'm sure that there were some people that saw him dip seven times, and they went right out and they started the Seven Dip Association. No, they do. Because people are like that. Oh, name and dip seven times. So that's what you have to do. You just go dip seven times. Not that God can't heal another person from dipping seven times. But just because God did one thing, one way, one time, doesn't mean to say he's going to do the same thing again. God always has different ways, different things that he's going to have people do. But how many know? I'm sure that somebody formed the Seven Dip Association. If he said dip seven times and be clean, then dipping seven times is not once. Not twice. Not three times. Seven times. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Come on, man. That's crazy. I'm already in the water. Down again. Down again. And you see this actual fact, the pattern is that way in the ministry of Jesus. The Bible says that he, in John 9 and 11, Jesus spat into the dirt and made clay, telling a blind man, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he spat in the ground, he made clay, put on the man's eyes, and then said, go wash. Now, if you were a critic and you got a hold of the man and said to him, on the way to go to the pool of Siloam, you interviewing him, what happened to you? I came to Jesus' meeting. And then what happened? Well, he spat in the ground and he made clay and he put it on my eyes. What are you going to do now? He told me to go wash. Nothing's happened yet. No miracles happened yet. I came to his meeting. I was blind and clean. Now I'm blind and dirty. And then imagine, people go, oh, that's just terrible. How disgusting. You imagine if they talked him out of going to wash in the pool of Siloam. You understand what I'm saying? He did what? You know for a fact that that method would not be allowed in most churches today. Are you with me? Jesus would not be accepted in many churches today. And, you know, I've never used the method of spitting on anybody ever in all the years of ministry. But I feel a strong anointing today. I just feel a powerful anointing. No. Relax. No. Look, I've been, because I walk around. So you speak a little globule. You watch it come right out of your mouth, and then it goes and lands on somebody's head. But you didn't do it on purpose. It was by accident. And then I'll just always just do that with my hand just to kind of clear it. But how many know that that would empty most churches in America today? If they wrote about Jesus' ministry, preacher spits on people. He has a spitting ministry. Like they call me the laughing preacher, whatever. You know. People are stupid. The spitting preacher. Then the critics would be saying, but you see, that's not God because snakes spit. And so that was a sign. No, they would make up everything. Then they would want to grab the clay and that spittle and have it run down to the laboratory to test it to see if it was real spit or counterfeit spit. How do you think that Jesus even made clay? By religiously doing it? Was he standing there and Peter stepped forward with a satin pillow, and on the satin pillow was a golden goblet with fine ground sand from the Jordan and a silver spoon, and then Jesus leaned forward and religiously spat. No, think about it. No, come on. Think about it. This is Jesus spitting in the ground, making clay. How did he do it? You can't make clay by going. You can do a whole ceremony, light a candle, Dominus Fabiscum. Spirit 220, whatever they say. I don't know what they do, but all in Latin, you know. You can't make clay like that. If you're going to make clay, You have to get an offering together. You have to. I mean, you got to get a collection. No, I'm not trying to gross you out, but that's how you make clay. If you don't believe me, go outside right now, find a piece of ground, and see how much clay you're going to put together. You can't do that religiously. Don't read the Bible with the religious spectacles on. He spat in the ground and made clay. That is offensive in many circles. You go to Singapore, you're not allowed to spit. You get fined for spitting. Singapore is a very clean city, very strict rules. You get arrested for spitting. Texans would go straight to jail. No, you hang out with Texans, they're always spitting. They're always spitting. I played golf with them. It was working. And they're not even chewing tobacco. They're just a habit of spitting. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Some people do that. And then, of course, you've got the ones that chew tobacco, and they can sit in their recliner rocker and spit across the room into a can. While they whittle away with a knife on a piece of willow. So, how many understand that this would offend many people? And the blind man could have been totally offended. I can't believe that he spat on me. Headlines in the paper. Preacher spits on man's eyes. Man suing preacher for fear of AIDS. Yeah. And then if you interviewed the man after he washed and saw, you know, they want to know all about, yeah, how did he do it? Was it real spit? Where did he get the spit from? How much spit did he use? You know, all the technical stuff. And I'll tell you, here's what the blind man would say. The blind man would say, look, I don't know anything of what you're talking about. I just know this one thing. Once I was blind and now I can see. And that's all I know. That's all I know. When Naaman went back home and was clean, healed from his leprosy, you better believe that he told people. They said, well, how did you get clean? I went to the land of Israel. There was a prophet there. It was a man of God. He told me to go dip 7 times. At first, I was very offended, and I thought he was rude. He didn't even come out of his house. He actually sent a servant out. He didn't even come meet with me. Didn't even know that I'm the captain of the armies. He could have come out and... We brought him gifts. We brought him riches and wealth, and he didn't even want that. Fortunately, his servant took it. So I at least feel good about that. I at least gave the servant something. But then you know what happened to him. The servant. The servant got the leprosy that Naaman had. When the Syrophoenician woman, remember she came to Jesus and said for the Lord to heal her child, and Jesus said it's not right that we should take the children's bread and give it to dogs. He called the woman a dog. A dog. A dog. He called her a dog. Can you imagine the headlines? Preacher calls woman a dog. And she could have been, Mark 7 tells us about, she could have been very offended and just been so mad and walked away. But it actually provoked her. You know, that's fine. I might be a dog, but you know what? Even the dogs eat the crumbs. So even if I'm a dog, I'm going to get me a crumb. I'm going to get me one of those crumbs. Because if the miracle's in the loaf, there's healing waiting for me in the crop. You are not stopping my miracle. You are not stopping. You can't offend me. You can't offend me. You cannot offend me. There's some people in the church world go around looking to be offended to stop receiving the blessing of the Lord. You have to make a decision. No one can offend me to get away from coming to eat and drink that which the Lord has for my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So she chose not to be offended, but responded in faith. The rich young ruler was offended because Jesus answered to his question concerning eternal life because of covetous. Remember when he said, I've done all these things. I've kept all the commandments from my youth. You know, I've done. And Jesus looked at him and said, you know, you've done all those things, but one thing you lack. What's that? You haven't given. You're not a giver. Sell all you have, give to the poor, and great will be your reward. And the Bible says he turned away and left and was offended because he had many possessions. There's no telling what would happen to the rich young ruler, what God was going to do with his life had he obeyed Jesus that day. Remember what I read to you in Luke, that God offends the minds to reveal the hearts. How many know of people that were serving the Lord, but today they're not because they offended? It's very easy. Listen, people, listen to me carefully. It's very easy to get offended. If you're looking to get offended, you'll get offended. Some people expect to be offended by lunchtime. I'll tell you I'm going to go, but I promise you I'm probably going to get offended. Yes, you are. And if they don't get offended, they'll offend somebody. You can read about the rich young ruler in Matthew 19. He could not give up his position to follow Jesus. Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on me shall not be ashamed. Or you could say, will not be offended. People get offended because of the gospel. People get offended because they get criticized. People get offended because they get persecuted. People get offended because they get attacked. Matthew 11:6, and blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied is he who takes no offense at me and finds no cause for stumbling in or through me and is not hindered from seeing the truth. In other words, there are people that get offended with Jesus. Can you imagine? Imagine getting offended with Jesus, or they get offended at God. They get mad at God. Just like that old secular song from years ago, why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one? But I mean, that why me, Lord? That why me? Remember that. Remember that. Why me, Lord? Why me, Lord? But the same way, the why me, Lord? What have I ever done? The same thing is when things go wrong. Why, God? Why me? The first thing that comes out of their mouth is an offense towards God. Why? Some people are offended with speaking other tongues. I tell you, yeah, I'd love to go over there, but they talk in tongues. They talk in tongues. We were told that you shouldn't be around them people that talk in tongues. Isn't that right? But your tongues is the gateway to the supernatural. You come through the language into all of what God has for you, all 9 gifts of the Spirit that's available for you. And again, some people are offended with joy and laughter. Of course, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So there's a lot of things that people will get offended by. and allow themselves to stop receiving from what God has. Could be an usher, could be a parking lot attendant, it could be a children's worker, it could be somebody. We've had people over the years, the church is, you know, December, 22 years, we've had people come, Pastor, we just want you to know we love you, we love Pastor Donica, but somebody offended them, and we're going to leave the church. I mean, okay, what do you want me to do? I can kill them? I can kill them now? You want me to kill them now? No, tell me who did it. I'll kill them. How dare they offend you? So they're going to leave and go to another church. You can't tell me they're not going to go somewhere and get offended again. Because they didn't know that that person that offended them is one of triplets. And he actually offended the other two. They left. They in another church. So when they show up at the church, they think they're seeing double. How's that possible? They get offended there with one of the triplets. Then they leave and go to the third church, and the other triplet is there. Afterwards, you end up running out of places to go because you're going around to get offended. Don't be offended. Don't be offended. People are people. I will answer the next one that rings. Is this true? Don't let other people be the cause of you missing out on what God has for your life. Don't let it happen. You make the decision in your heart. I'm going to press into everything God has. And no one, there's no devil in hell, no individual is going to stop me from receiving all that God has for my life. And I cannot be offended. You know, I deal with so many ministers. Ministers are probably the most insecure people on the face of God's green earth that have ever been produced. Of every people that you deal with is ministers. They are so insecure. And you know, when you deal with people, you're always going to deal with issues and things like that. And I've learned, I mean, we can have a disagreement, whatever. I don't get offended, you know. They think of you sitting back there seething, oh my God, did they offend? Not even offended. In actual fact, you don't even remember what the story was. Well, I thought that you were upset with me. What are you talking about? Well, that happened. Yeah, that happened, but we dealt with it. It's all fine. It's all gone, you know. I don't hold grudges. I can't do what I do and hold grudges. How can you carry revival and then walk around holding grudges? I mean, no, I've had a lot of time to hold. I can hold a lot of things. You know, I can have a book. I can have encyclopedias just written with names and addresses. No, over the years, over 22 years of the church, we've had people that have left the church, come back years later and whatever, and I'll just put my arm around them, oh, it's so good to see you. And then my staff will say, Pastor, you remember what they did? And I go, no, what did they do? You said, no, they did this. I go, no, they never did that. It's impossible. They would never do that. I forget about it, totally forget about it. Even people on the road from 20, 30, 35 years ago, you know, when we first started the ministry, I'll bump into a minister, and then I remember there was something about, there was some problem there, but I don't know what it was. I just let it go. Because you just, purpose in your heart. You're not going to, some people, well, they can remember every finer detail of it. Let me tell you what they did. And then they did that. And then, oh, you came, and you know what, and you know what they even said about you? Because that's where the hook comes in. It's always to add you into the equation. You were doing fine when it was just their can of worms, but suddenly now, and I just got to let you know what they actually think about you. Boom! Now you offend. Ah, they said what? My God, I'll call him up right now. No, don't call him. I'm telling you this in confidence. Look, I'm telling you this in confidence. No, I'm going to call him right now. I'll tell him exactly what I think. Just let it go. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, we've had people do things wrong, whatever. We could sue. We could sue. Somebody called me earlier. Let's sue. I said, for what? What are we going to sue for? Well, they promised one thing, they delivered another. Leave them alone. God will deal with them. I don't have time to sue anybody. I'm not interested in suing anybody. I just put them in the hands of God. Yeah. We, you know. I mean, with the book that came out and the publishing and all that, we had promises and they never delivered anything. Well, I'm busy, man. The book's out. I'm excited. I care. They promised the moon. Many people promised the moon. Can't deliver anything. It doesn't bother me. I didn't go in with great expectations anyway. I don't believe people's resumes. The last thing you do is sit and believe a secular company come to tell you all the stuff. I just go, oh, great, okay, well. I'm just happy if they could deliver, you know, a hundredth of what they promised. And I think we probably got like 5% of what they promised, but that's fine. It's no problem. Just walk on. Just walk on, keep moving. We're already working on book number 2. Instead of worrying about book number 1. Don't allow yourself to become offended. I promise you, if you're looking for that, you will be offended. You'll be offended. And you'll be mad and you'll be grumpy and grouchy and be happy. Be happy. Be joyful. Love people. Forgive them. And forget. Amen. Forget. And remember, I know nothing. I know nothing. I have a very short-term memory when it comes to that. I don't want to hear. I don't want to know. La 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 la, it's block your ears. I want to hear, I want to know. Especially as a pastor, because you hear a lot of stuff. I can't walk in the pulpit with everything on record about what everybody, I don't even remember. I know nothing. Sometimes I walk around, people meet me, pastor, I just want to say I'm sorry. I go, for what? I'm sorry for, I don't know anything. I know nothing. You've forgiven. I don't know anything. Not you. You can't minister to people when you walk around with all kinds of stuff. Are you with me? So maybe you're sitting here today, and I'm preaching to you, ministering, and you think pastor knows. Pastor doesn't know anything. All pastor knows is about this message. Well, pastor's hurt. He don't know nothing. Pastor don't know anything. If I end up hitting something that pertains to you, trust me, I threw a dart in the dark and it hit bullseye, but it was not me. It's the Lord dealing with you. And I do it, no, and I do it with totally a pure heart, with no, you know, because I've seen people do that. I've seen people, you know, get up and then they're going to, instead of trying to deal with people privately or personally, they'll go up and just spill the beans publicly and pull people's pants down and, you know. That's not what the church is for. That's not what the church is for. This is not a hospital. It's the hospital that give you the robe to wear with your butt flapping out there. I mean, you know, I'm telling you, it's a terrible place. A hospital is a terrible place. Everybody's running in there looking at you. Everybody's looking at you. Strangers come and lift up the bed covers and look. Everybody's looking at you. You're totally vulnerable on every side. You It's embarrassing. I didn't even know how ladies go to a hospital and have babies with everybody coming in, coming to have a check. Everybody. This is Dr. A, Dr. B, Dr. C. I mean, I take my hat off to all the ladies, the stuff that you have to endure, you know, just to have a baby. Think about it, a lady. Are you offended by me talking about these things? There's a lot I could say right now. I'll leave it alone. But I don't want Pastor Derek crawling under the chair. But come on, men, how many understand for a lady to give birth to a baby in a hospital is a very humiliating thing. You think about it. And the men just stare like with a blank look on their face. Except this couple over here, they didn't give birth in the hospital. They gave birth on the I-75. Isn't that right? In the car. Which is great. You didn't have to deal with the doctors. You did it the right way. By the time she got to the hospital, she's holding the baby. Baby born on Highway 75. Was it 75 or I-4? You don't even know. Who cares? But the front right seat of the vehicle. And he's driving along there. What child is that? Child number three, yeah. You thought you would know by now. He's driving along. He looks. There's a head coming out. Houston, we have a problem. When we first had Kirsten, you know, because it's the first baby. I mean, you don't know what to expect. Donica tells me, you know, water's broken. I mean. It, well, whatever. She said, I'm going to have the baby. Well, so I don't know anything. What do I know? I know nothing. I just get in the car. We got an hour to go to the hospital. I fly that car. We drive along. We hit a bump. Her head hits the roof. Which actually works as a counterbalance to take away the pain that she was going through. So now you deal with the pain in the head rather with... Don't come with preconceived ideas of how God's going to do something. Humble yourself. Your opinions can get you into trouble. Opinions are when you think, they think, which is not even true. I deal with preachers, you know, they'll text me and go, I've lost, you know, my friendship with them. I said, what are you talking about? Well, they haven't responded by text. You know, half of the communication we do is total nonsense. You know what I mean? When you think about it. 40 years ago, you couldn't send a message and then somebody send a message back immediately. You just send something, gets post with a stamp, the thing goes in the mail, then they had to sit down, write it, come back. Now it goes. And you can't hear the tone of voice, you know. If you write me a letter, you'll be very offended because I don't write letters. I talk on the phone or text. If you email me, it'll just go and it'll probably come back, yep, nope. That's just, over the years, very few people receive a letter from me other than the monthly mail out that we send on email, weekly letter. That's about the only thing that you'll get from us. I like to look at people in the eyes, talk to them. And then with text or words on a paper, you can't hear what they're saying. So I use a lot of humor, which on a text will come out a little rude. But it's not. So that's why I have to put smiley face. I love emoticons. Emoticons are phenomenal. Phenomenal. In actual fact, I'm thinking of having several ushers with different emoticons, so while I'm preaching, they can jump up and go, smiley face. I love the big-eyed one, too. I love that. And then I love the one with the halo. Don't try to sort something out through text. Don't try to sort something out through text or email. It'll go from bad to worse. There's things people will say to you on text they'll never say to your face. It's important to look people in the eyes and talk to them and let them hear the sound of your voice. You almost have to put a text with like a mood to it. No, the text goes, I'm not mad at you. Said in a very calm, smooth voice. With Tchaikovsky playing in the background. Okay. Say this after me. I must step over that which offends me to walk in my freedom. So in other words, ask yourself the question, what is stopping you? Think about all the things that God has for you. What's stopping you? And you'll probably see that there's a big thing of offense in the way that you have to get over. You have to get through that. You have to get around that. If you ignore it, it's not going to go away and you're not going to go any further. You have to confront these things. It's like fear. You have to confront fear. You can't ignore it. Job 22:29, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up. He will save the humble person. James 4:6, the second part of the verse. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Allow God to have his way in your life. Submit to his word, which the word is very plain. You don't need to complicate or anything. You know what? Every time you read the word, God's talking to me. The word's not for somebody else. Yeah. You know, and people come to you and say, Pastor, that was a great message. My mother-in-law really needed to hear that message. Pastor, that was a great word. I'll tell you, I'm so glad my wife was with me. If anybody needed to hear, it was my wife. No, no, just take the word for you. Forget about anybody else. Receive the word for yourself. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Follow His promptings and leadings. Allow those who are in spiritual authority over you to help you. Please, and I ask you here at the church, come, go to the leaders that you have around you. Start with your HOJ leader and then come to a pastor and say, listen, we need help with something. Don't just be out there by yourself. Then we find out later, 3 months later, people have fallen off the wagon and they're offended. And we had a situation here where somebody's wife had a car wreck. No one even told anybody. She had children. You know, we have a whole team in place. People come, they would make food for people. We do that. You know, we send people in to help make food and to help them, because when you've injured yourself, then they leave the church because the wife feels like we weren't there for her. We didn't even know. No one said anything. No one told us. So people get offended, but we didn't know. We only know what we know. We can't, you know, somebody says, well, they should know. We don't always operate in the word of knowledge. So ask for help. Don't try to live this thing by yourself. You don't have to. If we're not here, you will make your dip 7 times. We're not going to drown you. Amen. Somebody said they might drown me. I'll go there to be healed. Instead of dipping 7 times, they drown me. And we're not going to drown you. Don't be a lord to yourself. Humble yourself. Let me close with this. You know, in traveling around like we do, people always end up putting on some kind of a pedestal. And I understand that we've been around a long time, whatever. And just so you know, I do not walk around with that attitude at all. I don't see myself as anything. I'm still believing God to see a nation shaken. So I don't, you know, everybody think, oh, it's great and what you've done or whatever. Look, whatever has happened is just by longevity of being around for a long time, God's given us some great victories. But compared to what we believe in God for, we haven't actually ever done anything. Really, to be honest with you, we haven't done anything. And so a lot of ministers walk around, you know, with this air and grace about them, and they just hung the moon, you know, and they just know everything, whatever. I don't. I'm always inquiring. I'm always asking questions. Behind the scenes, I talk to people. Okay, so what about this? What about this? What about this? What about that? What about this? And I always want information. I want to find out about this. Because when you realize that you don't know everything, you have to surround yourself with people that know what to do. You are in trouble when you're the most knowledgeable person in the room. Yes. Are you with me? You're going to fail. And the Bible talks about the multitude of counselors. There's safety in that whole thing. So one of the things that people don't see is behind the scenes is, you know, I mean, I'll get people out. I think they get tired of me asking questions. I'll find somebody that's expert in a certain area and I'll drill them. I'm talking about like interrogate them. Like, okay, so what about that? And then? So tell me how you did that. And then what happened? It's like they want to give me the short answer. I don't want a short answer. I want to know the detail. Tell me about that. And then if I don't get the answer I'm looking, I'll devise another question and come from the other side. Are you with me? Because that's the only way that you learn. That's the only way you learn. So in order to learn, then you have to be quiet. You have to be quiet. Even though you might know, but this is not a time for you to give out what you know. This is a time for you to assimilate knowledge and to learn. Are you with me? And if you do that, the hardest people to help are the people that know everything. We can't help them. The moment you're saying, I know that, Pastor, but I know that. No, I know what the scripture says. I know that. Yeah, I understand. But it's not just about knowing something, it's about the application of it. See, how do I take what I know and apply it to bring about what I need to see happen? Which is more important, because there's many people that know a lot of things. You can't live a life and not know some things. But the application of it, that's a different story. That's why they say that 97% of college graduates fail. Only 3% of college graduates are a success. Because wisdom is the ability to use the knowledge that you've gained. So even though somebody is, they're knowledgeable, they don't have wisdom, they might have all the answers, but they don't. You don't see any life application of it. Are you with me? It's actual fact, it's like their knowledge has actually hurt them now. They know too much, and it's caused them now, because they actually know the other side. They know some of the negatives. Now they're offended. Like somebody who prays for sick and abuses it. Well, that's it. I'll never talk about, I don't know, I'm going to pray for the sick again. Look what he's doing. Now you're offended. Some preacher messes up with money and the way they manipulate scripture. That's it. I'll never teach on giving again. Now you're offended at the word. All the devil has to do is run you for one here, and every month you get offended at something, you won't preach anything. Will you come lay hands? No, we're not a part. We don't do like those people do. So suddenly, what are you? You're offended. You're offended at everything. Some tongue talker did something. Now you're offended at tongues. Somebody who prophesied did something. Now you're offended. I'll never prophesy again. Is this help? Do you understand what I'm talking about? But the river of offense is the river of deliverance. So it doesn't matter who does what. I'm going to stay with the word. Not get offended, not hold grudges, rejoice, stay drunk, have another drink. Amen. And somebody said, what are you doing? I'm dipping. Just wave as you go under the water. I'm going to dip. Who got something out of this here today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just see offenses coming off of people. I see all the things that would hold you back just going off of people. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just lift your hands and thank him right now. Just lift your hands and give him praise. Just lift your hands and give him glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus, to receive all that heaven has for your life. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the name of Jesus. In my spirit, it's what the Lord told me right now, there's someone here that's been stuck in limbo for probably the last 5 years because of an offense. You haven't grown anything. You've just stuck. It's like you've been in a holding pattern. But as I've been speaking here today, that's lifted off of you. And you will grow more, even the next 3 months. And God's going to catch you up with what you've lost. But that offense is removed here today by the power of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, blessed Jesus. Amen. I want everybody to bow your heads, if you would, please. Right across this room, I'm going to give an invitation here today. If you've come to this place and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Maybe you walked in here today and you've come. You say, Pastor, I've never, ever given my life to Jesus. I've never said, Jesus, come be my Lord and Savior. Friend, I want to ask you a question. What would happen if you died today? Where would you go? Where would you spend eternity? I want you to know there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't have to go to a devil's hell, because 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross, the price was paid and the blood was shed. And just like that old song said, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all the guilty stain. Today, the power of the blood of Jesus will wash you clean. You might have come in here one way, but you'll leave another way. Today, he calls you. Today, he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Will you surrender to him today? You might never have another opportunity. This very day, your life could be required of you. It takes a humble person to say, Lord, here I am, and I give my life to you today. Maybe you've come into this place and you gave your life to the Lord in days gone by, but you've grown cold. You're not serving God like you should. You've allowed the things of the world to come in. You've lost your first love. You've lost that peace. You've lost that joy. There was a time when you were radically on fire for God, but something happened that rocked your world. Maybe it's something hidden that no one can see. Pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust. The hidden things that come and clog the heart of man. But today, will you surrender to him? Will you say, Jesus, come and have your way in me? He said, I will take out the stony heart and put in a heart of flesh. He said, a new spirit will I put within you. Many times the hidden things, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, anger, lust, allow the Lord to remove that today. Maybe it's not hidden. Maybe it's outward that everyone could see. And the devil uses against you to keep it a place of guilt and condemnation. You feel like God will never use you because of things that have happened. But I want you to know the devil's a liar and God's a God of a second chance. He's a God of a new beginning. Maybe it's not hidden, outward as we described. Maybe it's a storm that came against your life, a sudden divorce, a bankruptcy, the loss of a loved one, a sudden illness, the betrayal of a close friend, the loss of a job. Something happened that rocked your world. But today you say, I'm coming back. I'm going to fall in love with Jesus all over again. Surrender to him afresh. And then lastly, if you're in this place, you love the Lord, but you're not sure of your salvation, the devil's always lying to you, telling you that you're not saved. But today you want to make sure. Today you want to know that you know that you know that you're a child of God. If this is you and you fit into any one of these three categories, I want to pray with you and for you. Right where you are, without any hesitation whatsoever, quickly put your hand up right now and say, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you. Raise up high. God bless you. Put up high. God bless you, sir. God bless you over there. Raise up high and say, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God bless you. Anybody else? Hands right under the overhang. Slip it up high. Another hand over this side. Anybody else? Say, yes, Lord. Today's Monday. God bless you, young lady. Anybody else? Just slip it up high and say, yes. I want you to put your hands down now. I want you to look at me if you would please. In this section here, if you didn't raise your hand but want to be included in the prayer we're going to pray, quickly put your hand up and say, include me. Include me. God bless you. Anybody else? Anyone else? Another hand over there. Anybody else? Another hand over there. Just raise up high. Another hand over there. Anybody else? He loves you and he calls you today. This under the overhang, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, put your hand up right now and say, include me. Anybody else? Ushers, if you can help me with that, just slip it up high. Thank you. This section here, you didn't raise your hand but want to be included, slip your hand up right now and say, include me. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. Anybody else? Raise up high. Another hand there. God bless you, sir. Anybody else? Another hand, another hand, another hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just slip it up high. This section here. Just raise up high and say, yes, that's me. God bless you. Anybody else? I already saw your hand. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Another two hands over here. I want every person that raised your hand, I want you to stand all across the building, please. Everyone that raised your hand, stand. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, everyone. Everyone that raised your hand, come. Come on, bunch of others back over here. Come on and stand right now. We're going to pray. I want you to come from where you are and come stand around the altar. Come. We're going to pray together. Come. Today's your day of freedom. Come now. Come now. He calls you. The others that raise your hand, quickly come. Come now. He calls you. Today's your day of freedom. No turning back. No turning back. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. You can take the whole world, but give me Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. There's just several others that raise your hand. You just need to come. So while they're coming, let me just say this. I see, you know, the only people supposed to be moving during the altar call are the workers. And then I see people leave the service. Rather leave when I'm preaching. Don't leave during the altar call. That's very rude to the Holy Ghost. Because if this was your mother coming forward, you wouldn't leave. If it was your mother, your brother, your aunt, your uncle, your sister, you would not leave. You wouldn't leave. So in traditional churches, the moment they give an altar call, people think it's the end of the service. Well, it's not here. We'd still do communion together. So it's not the end. So it's better for people to leave while I'm preaching than during an altar call. I don't really do well with that. Because what they're actually doing, they're saying this means absolutely nothing. And yet it's the most important thing ever. It really is the most important thing ever. So, you know, how can we believe God for the deeper things when we treat what he does frivolously? You know. And sometimes we can get up and move right across three or four people that were actually sitting there fighting. The devil was fighting for their soul. But because we were inconsiderate, we just got up and moved and didn't. It's important what God's doing. Amen. So I just thought I'd tell that. Because I see people walking out and I want to run and grab them and go, you can't leave now. Go sit down. You know, I'll restrain myself. Just so you know, greatly restrained. And I understand we've got visitors coming. I mean, right towards the end of the offering, a guy gets up, he goes there, he gets his wife out of the children's thing, and then they walk out the door. Which, you know, I understand. I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know who they thought they were coming to, what church they thought they were coming to. But that's going to happen. There's people coming here. They have no clue what the river's about. They used to a religious type city, where the preacher just comes out and does a couple of things, blows some smoke, light a few candles, and rub a belly, and then off they go, you know. Isn't that right? Not here. Just camp out. It's really great. I want you to look at me right now. We're going to pray. One prayer fits all. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. He does. Even if this is the first time you've ever come forward to surrender, or you come to recommit your life, or you come to make sure. I've had the privilege of doing this around the world, and then I bump into people all the years later. One of the men that came to the service, him and his wife and children, I led him to the Lord in Southern Africa. I think I was only 22 years old. I gave an altar call, and he came forward. Just the only person that answered the call. And today he pastors a great church in London, England. So I never, ever, you can't prejudge you, because you have no clue what God's going to do with people. So that's why I said, if you mean business with God, God means business with you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And so we're going to pray a prayer. One prayer fits all. I want you to just close your eyes, raise your right hand to heaven. That's where your help comes from. And just pray this in faith, believing. And the Bible says you shall receive. We're going to pray together. Say, Father, I come to you in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, you said in your word, if I confess with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, and I believe in my heart that God has raised you from the dead, I will be saved. So, Father, right now, I confess Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart right now. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Wash me. Cleanse me. Change me. Fill me. Use me. Let me never be the same again. I turn my back on the world. I turn my back on sin. And I follow you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. Thank you that on the third day you rose for me. And thank you that you're coming back again for me. From this day on, I'll never be the same again. I confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He is my Lord and my Savior. And right now, by faith, in the finished work of the cross, and by the shed blood of Jesus, I am saved. I'm born again. Now lift your hands right now. Now, Father, I pray that you would seal them now. Seal them by your blood and by your spirit, that on that day not one would be missing. Raise them up to be mighty men and women of God, and use them to impact this generation, we pray. In Jesus' name. Thank you for watching today on YouTube. Please press the subscribe button and also the notification button and like, and get the word out so others can watch.